good to be with you this morning in the ministry of the Word of God. We want to turn again to the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3, and we shall read verses 21 through verse 31. But basically, I'm going to be working out of verse 24. In verse 24, we find the heart of Pauline theology established in verse 24. Now, while in the chapters that follow in Romans chapter 3, there are many other subjects that are going to be developed well, but they all rest on this foundation of truth that is found in verse 24, and it's our joy this morning to turn and read it. But we're going to begin our reading to get the whole context beginning in verse 21. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Or works? No, but by the law of faith. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea. We establish the law. May the Lord bless the reading of his word. Let's pray together. Our Father, having read thy precious word, the Holy Scriptures, the sacred Scriptures, given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, we thank you for them. We thank you that they declare your mind, your will. And we pray that this morning, as words are multiplied upon the sacred scripture, that the words that are spoken will bring light and bring life to any that are in darkness. And we pray that we who know thee and love thee will be established in the faith, and we will joy and rejoice in the gospel and be able to tell it sweetly, lovingly to others. We sang together this morning. Could we with ink the ocean fill? And were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every tongue a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. How can we so speak that people grasp the truth that is here presented? We ask for help. We cry to thee and ask you to glorify your Son through the preaching of the word for Jesus' sake. Amen. For the past 30 years, I've been teaching Bible classes here in the city, and every week I usually have a page of notes for them. And those who have attended over the years, and some have attended all, just about every Bible class, they must have a stack of papers this high of notes, they know that I'm insistent on defining terms. If we define the terms of Holy Scripture, we arrive at truth. If we just read over terms and never think of what they mean, it doesn't mean much. Any student who goes to college or university knows that to just skim over a book or not pay attention to the professor is not going to be a help on examination day. We must pay attention to what the professor says. We've got to pay attention to what's in the book. And you and I have been given a revelation by God. It's His Word. And we must pay attention to it. It's far more important than anything else we can do. We can occupy ourselves with fiddling around like Nero did while Rome burned. Or we can pay attention to Holy Scripture. And Holy Scripture is very, very important. And this morning we want to look at definitions. And definitions are important. Romans chapter 3, verse 24 says, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. That word justify or justification forms the foundation of the epistle to the Romans. It also forms the foundation for Pauline theology. And that word comes in various forms. It comes in the word justify. It's found in the word justifier. And it's found in the word justification. Justification, friends, is more than forgiveness. Many commentators simply state that to be justified, to understand this, is to simply take the word apart. I've heard this for many years in my life. Take the word justify apart. Just as if I'd, then add two words, never sinned. That, friends, is not justification. That is forgiveness. That is forgiveness. That's how Adam was before he sinned. He was just as if I'd never sinned. That is not justification. That is forgiveness. Forgiveness in God's Word carries with it the Day of Atonement aspect. When a goat was presented to the high priest, two goats really, one was slain and the blood carried within the veil by the high priest. But the other goat, upon his head, the high priest laid his hands, and he confessed the sins of the people, his own sins. And that goat was then carried into a land uninhabited, never to return to the camp of Israel again. And that's forgiveness. Our sins are removed. They are taken from us. They are borne by another. The sins were transferred by the high priest to the scapegoat. Justification, on the other hand, is primarily a declaration by God, which means that we have been declared righteous by God. Romans chapter 4, verse 5 says, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. In our Wednesday morning Bible class, we ended up with the doctrine of sanctification this year, this past Wednesday morning. But before that, I taught the doctrine of justification. And one of the mornings that I taught justification, our brother Tom Taylor and his wife, one of my favorite theologians, was sitting in the audience. And after the meeting, he said, boy, I was glad to see in your notes that you don't believe that justification is just as if I'd never sinned. He said, that's what most people think. He said, but you believe that it is a forensic act of God done in a court whereby God declares the believing sinner righteous. Now, we want to work out of that concept this morning. We have been, those of us who have looked to Christ in repentance and faith, we have been declared righteous by God. It is a legal and a forensic act. It does not mean that we are made righteous. It doesn't mean that. But it does mean, beloved, that God regards us as righteous, and He declares us to be. Romans chapter 4, verse 5, to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now let me explain that. A criminal may commit a criminal act. And then, in the process of getting caught, he may be freely forgiven by the person against whom he committed the act. For instance, suppose I stole a man's car and in the process wrecked it. And then I went to the man and confessed my sin, and the man freely forgave me. That would be nice, wouldn't it? But you see, that would not change my status before the law at all. Before the law, I'm just as guilty. Even though the man forgave me, I'm still guilty before the law. But God, in infinite mercy and grace, declares us righteous. Forgiveness, friends, doesn't remove guilt. But justification does. I have not only forgiven by God, I have been justified by God. We mustn't look at justification as a deficit that is owed by man, by God, or by man. And man makes up part of it, and God makes up the other part. The ladies played a great hymn this morning. And we don't sing, Jesus paid 90%. All the rest I owe. Sin has left a crimson stain. He washed it light pink. We don't sing that. We sing, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. You see, there's a reason for this. God rejects all that man can produce. Man can't produce a thing that God will accept. He rejects it all. And God gives everyone that he accepts 100% justification. Beloved, it is all of God or none of it is of God. It's all of grace. And it has to be. It can't be anything else. The sinner who is justified is not only forgiven and pardoned and declared essentially righteous before God. Now, this is a positive standing in the presence of God. We are made the righteousness of God in him, and all guilt of the past is forever removed. God declares us righteous. There's a man who labored with D.L. Moody. His name was Harry Moorhouse. Harry Moorhouse saw a little boy one day carrying a pitcher of milk. And he watched him, and the little boy dropped the pitcher of milk. The pitcher broke, and the milk was gone. What's the little boy going to do? So in order to teach some great lessons in the gospel, Harry Moorhouse went over to the little boy and said, let's put it back together. And there they were down on the ground trying to put the picture together, and it wouldn't work. You know, the Bible says we're as weak as water spilled upon the ground which cannot be gathered up again. We're like Humpty Dumpty. We had a great fall. And all the king's horses and all the king's men can't put Adam together again. The pitcher's broken. Henry Morehouse then took the boy and he bought him a new pitcher. Then he filled it with milk. And the little boy turned to him. He said, "That's a better pitcher than I started with." Oh, beloved, what God has done in justifying the sinner. He purchased for us, beloved, a divine nature. He not only declares us righteous, but in that redemption that's in Christ Jesus, he's purchased for us 100%. He did it all. See, God is not working to repair old Adam. He's not trying to repair old Adam like Henry Morehouse is trying to teach a little boy. Old Adam can't be repaired. Old Adam is lost. Old Adam is beyond hope. But thanks be unto God for justification. God can take old Adam and declare him righteous, inasmuch as Christ has died on his behalf. Does that thrill you? I tell you this, it sure thrills me. God took me, a sinner, up in his arms, and he purchased an entirely new nature, which he imparts to us on the basis of his loving kindness and his tender mercy. It's not because I was righteous in any way. Oh, no. No one had to plead with God to do this for me. It wasn't the pleadings of his mother. Oh, no. The Lord of glory, beloved, came from heaven because the Lord Jesus Christ is full of grace. John could say the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Grace was abounding, beloved, through the redemption which he provided by dying as our substitute. It was not our character, beloved, that recommended me to him. It was his grace, beloved, that recommended him to me. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now that word, freely. Being justified, to be declared righteous, but that word, freely. Being declared righteous freely by his grace. That word freely is translated in John chapter 15 by these words, without a cause. Our Lord Jesus told his own in the garden as he walked to Gethsemane, John chapter 15, he said, "They hated me without a cause." There is no reason to hate the Son of God. None whatsoever. He blessed, but he never cursed. Every miracle our Lord performed showed forth the kingdom that he proclaimed, the kingdom of heaven. They hated me without a cause. And that's the word freely. That's the same word that is translated freely in Romans 3, verse 24. Being declared righteous without a cause in me. Oh, isn't that thrilling? There's a cause in me to be sent to hell. There's no cause in me to be declared righteous, but to the praise of the glory of God's grace, he's done it. He's declared me righteous, inasmuch as Christ has died on my behalf as my substitute. Now that brings us to the word being justified freely through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The word translated redemption is the word apolutrosis, and it simply means complete deliverance by the payment of a price. That word lutrosis is a derivative of the word lutro in the Greek. And the word lutro is the word for ransom. A ransom was paid. And the prefix apo simply means, and it's from the word apoluo, which means deliverance. So there's complete deliverance by the payment of a price. Being justified freely by his grace, those he justifies, he completely delivers through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Now there are two other words used in the Greek for redemption, agorazo, which is found in Revelation 5, verse 9, also 1 Peter chapter 1, and it's translated redeem, and it means to make a purchase, to make a purchase. But then the strongest word is, to me, is found in Galatians 3:13, where we read, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, as it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. And here the word is ex, the prefix ex, agorazo, before the word purchase. Whenever slaves were purchased, often they were sold again. And they were sold into greater bondage than they ever experienced previously. But when that word ex agorazo says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, it means to be purchased, and we're never put on the market for sale again. We've been purchased once for all. We're not for sale. We belong to the purchaser. What? The apostle cries in 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which you have of God, and you are not your own. You have been bought with a price. Oh, beloved, we belong to another. James Gray wrote that hymn we sang this morning, Naught have I gotten, but what I received. I don't have anything that I didn't receive. Grace hath bestowed it since I have believed. Boasting excluded. Nothing to brag about, Phil. You're a sinner. Boasting excluded. Pride I abase. I'm only a sinner saved by grace. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. While God uses three words to emphasize that word redemption. Everywhere in the New Testament when these words are used, whether it's apolutrosis or whether it's agorazo or ex agorazo, they denote deliverance effected through the death of Christ from the retributive justice of a holy God that merited the penalty for sin. I deserve God's wrath. And the wrath of God is revealed from heaven in the gospel, according to Romans 1, verse 18. It's revealed. And that's the first step in the gospel, beloved, to realize that we are under the wrath of a holy God. And the first three chapters of Romans proclaim that truth. They proclaim the truth that there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. As we read in the Psalms, God looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that doeth good, and his conclusion was, there is none that doeth good, no, not one. Isn't that good news? Romans 4:25. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. In the Sunday school hour this morning, I pointed out that under the Old Testament economy, When a man became exceedingly poor, he could sell himself as a slave to a master. And the price that was paid was in accordance with the length of time to the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, the year when everybody goes back to their own possession. And that ram's horn was sounded on the 10th day of the 10th month, the Day of Atonement, the day that the high priest entered in with the blood of the goat that proclaimed God would be with them for another year, a Day of Atonement. Can you imagine a slave under a master when the ram's horn sounded and he could cry, "I'm free, I'm free"? That's what took place when I heard the gospel, friends. The ram's horn sounded in the gospel, beloved. There's freedom in Christ Jesus. There's complete deliverance by the payment of a price. The price has been paid. Jesus paid it all. Well, that's good news. That's good news. There's deliverance, beloved, from the penalty of transgression through the expiation of sin. God dealt with sin at the cross. And now he declares the believing sinner righteous. Well, we need to apply this truth. Application number one. If you have never been born of God by looking to Christ in faith and repentance, you're guilty. And there's nothing you can say, there's no act that you can put on that's going to deliver you. Now, you can fool me. You can fool Brother David. You can fool parents. You can fool your husband. You can fool your wife. But you can't fool God. You're guilty. If you have never looked in repentance and faith to Christ. And the good news this morning is this. God declares righteous all who come to God through Christ. You don't come to the preacher. You don't come to the church. You come to Christ. I was at the University of West Virginia having meetings. Not at the university, but the university young people came. The young man sat with me one Saturday night, on a Saturday night meeting. I loved that young fellow. I had dealt with a few that night. But this young fellow, there are two things he needed. He needed a haircut, but he needed Christ a lot more. I told him that night, I said, "Now you know the claims of Christ. I can't save you. No one else can. You don't need to deal with me, but you do need to deal with Christ." That young man looked at me and he said, "I'm going home. If you see me tomorrow morning, you know I've dealt with Christ." He was going to get alone with the Lord. Oh, we'd like a preacher to decide for us, to decision us and do all this and that. But listen, you can be saved sitting right where you are by looking in repentance and faith to Christ. The next morning, who do you think I saw? That young man with a smile across his face. He saw the Lamb who had provided redemption. And through looking to the Lamb, he learned that he was delivered. And he learned that he was justified, declared righteous by the grace of God. Let's apply this truth. If you have never been born of God, I don't care who you are. you're guilty. And you're under the judgment of God. Regardless of what your parents think, or regardless of what anybody else thinks, you're guilty. Turn to Christ. Learn the freedom that the ram's horn means when you hear its sound. Application number 2 this morning. You can leave here today and you can say to yourself, and by the way, I'd like to talk to myself. Now, it's when you answer yourself when you get in trouble. But I like to talk to myself. And you can say within yourself, God declares me righteous without any cause in me. I'm justified freely. There's no cause for this in me. It's all by His grace. It is through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, because the penalty was paid by my substitute, Jesus Christ, the Lord. Let's apply that truth to ourselves and enjoy being justified freely by His grace. Let's pray together. Our Father, we thank You for this glorious truth. We're conscious of the fact that Thou hast spoken, and only the Spirit of God can convict of sin. And we pray that upon Thine own that have truly believed in Thee, that as we leave this morning, we'll leave rejoicing and being able to say to ourselves, I've been justified without a cause in me. But upon any that have not believed in Thee, who are stubborn, rebellious, we ask You to accompany them and give them no joy nor peace until they rest in You. May the hounds of heaven follow them until they turn in repentance and faith to Him who alone can save, even the mighty Savior. Therefore, go with us to our homes in comfort or in conviction, and we'll thank You in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.